There is a story of the Ukrainian Hasidic Rabbi Levi Yitzhak, who was fond of saying that he had learned the true meaning of love from a drunken peasant. While visiting the owner of a tavern in the Polish countryside, the rabbi overheard the conversation of two men seated at a nearby table. Both had had a fair amount to drink, and both were feeling quite mellow. And with their arms around one another, they were professing how much each loved the other. Suddenly, the older of the two, Ivan, looked at his friend and asked, "Peter, tell me, what hurts me?" Bleary-eyed, but slightly sobered by the question, Peter looked at Ivan and answered with a question of his own. "How do I know what hurts you?" Ivan's response came quickly. "If you don't know what hurts me, how can you say you love me?" My friends, our Christian religious tradition is founded on love. Actually, life itself is grounded in love, a love that is open and compassionate and generous. We just have to look at the life of Jesus and recognize love for what it is. Jesus' absolute and unwavering total commitment to each human being. Jesus' life is an incarnation of remembrance of God's steadfast love. What Jesus says, Jesus is and does. And all we can conclude is that we are loved because the source from which we came is love itself. This is what the scripture tells us again and again. As in last Sunday's gospel, in today's gospel, Jesus sees through what seems to be an acceptable question put to him by a scholar of the law, a professional theologian, who is primed to question Jesus about the greatest commandment of the law. And we can only guess the look on the lawyer's face when Jesus, without even a moment's hesitation, gives a perfect response. Jesus replies by quoting the Shema Israel, the prayer that devout Jews recite every morning and evening from Deuteronomy. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." But Jesus went further by naming a second commandment, which is like the first, from the law of Leviticus. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." What was astounding was the way that Jesus linked these two commandments. Jesus startled them with his profound simplicity and mastery of the law of God and its purpose. Jesus placed love of neighbor alongside love of God. In fact, Jesus insists that the whole law and the prophets hangs on these two commandments. But the most important thing Jesus tells the Pharisees is love and caring for and reverencing the other. In other words, in loving our neighbor, we are loving as God has first loved us. St. Cyril of Alexandria, a 5th century church father, explains how the love of God orders everything we do. St. Cyril says, "To love God with the whole heart is the cause of every good. The second commandment includes the righteous acts we do toward other people. The first commandment prepares the way for the second, and in turn is established by the second. For the person who is grounded in the love of God clearly also loves his neighbor in all things himself. The kind of person who fulfills these two commandments experiences all the commandments. Brothers and sisters, to emphasize that gospel love is neither an idea or a warm fuzzy, but instead a call to act, our scriptures today twin the gospel with a first reading from Exodus. Out of the Israelites' lived experience of being strangers in Egypt emerges the beautiful image of a God who, like a loving and protective parent, watches compassionately over the most vulnerable. And Exodus is very clear about the treatment of those who live on the margins of our global communities. We shall not wrong a resident alien. We shall not abuse widows and orphans. And if we lend money to the poor, we must not exact interest from them. Our ancestors in the faith called the people then and us now to accountability when it comes to being neighbor to all, especially to the most needy. In other words, if we are to love God, then we must also love our neighbor, no matter what the circumstances. I think perhaps our greatest temptation today is to separate our love of God and love of people. We may leave today's Eucharist only to show how little we really are in communion with our brothers and sisters when we fail to love them in the small but demanding ways of everyday neighborliness. At this liturgy, we worship with many whose names we really don't know. Most don't really need our physical help, nor will they even notice if we don't reach out in love. Most will not care. Yet the gospel today challenges us to recognize these neighbors and to know them in a deeper way because we share a relationship of faith in the Lord Jesus. My friends, in our e-connected world, the words of Jesus in today's gospel are especially challenging. To love with our whole heart and soul and mind requires us to unplug, if you will, and to be present to one another, to engage one another as our loving God is engaged with us, to seek not just images and perceptions of compassion, but to acknowledge that compassion and experience that love in one another. This commandment places all the other laws of the Hebrew and Christian tradition in context. Obey this commandment, and you will have no trouble with any of the others. Kind of what St. Cyril has said. And if our love is open and generous like God's love, we will care for the widows and orphans and the aliens. We will feed the hungry and visit the sick. We will help to alleviate the misery of those suffering disabilities of mind and body. We will include those refugees who have been forced to the margins of society or those forced to return to their homeland. And if our love is open and generous like God's love, we will do what we can to provide decent living conditions for the people trapped in the prison of poverty. We will work to ensure clean water and air and a healthy world for those who come after us. In light of this, perhaps we can make every effort to be present for the impact annual assembly tomorrow evening from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish. Finally, brothers and sisters, if our love is open and generous and compassionate, we would include all of creation within our notion of the neighbor to be loved. My friends, like the story of the two friends I shared at the beginning of the homily, our love for our neighbor can't be just a mere pious platitude that speaks of love. We can't claim to God and at the same time show hatred or insensitivity to our neighbor. When we love others, the reign of God's love spreads throughout the world. The care and compassion that we show towards others is a form of evangelization. It proclaims much louder than any words ever could that the reign of God is established. And that's what Jesus calls us to today. And when we begin to love like this, we will truly love with the openness and the generosity of God. Amen.